This is a podcast from Kingdom People Church in Harare, Zimbabwe. For more details, please go to www.kingdompeoplechurch.org.
Maggie, are you ready? Can someone turn for me to the book of Revelations, Revelations 4? And if you have a new, an NIV version, I would really appreciate if you can just read that passage of scripture for us as soon as Maggie reads us the King James Version.
Great. Thanks, Brian. I'm reading from the book of Revelation, and I'm reading from chapter 4 and verses 4 to 11, and I'm reading in the King James Version. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen.
Amen. I love the poetry, the artistry with which the King James Version is read, but sometimes it can become a little difficult to follow. So can I ask someone to read the NIV version of the same scripture? Is someone ready to read that for us? Go for it.
After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. The voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." And once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. The one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, who were dressed in white and with crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were 4 living creatures. They were covered with eyes and thumbs and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being."
Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that You've given us such wonderful scriptures, Lord God, just to get a glimmer of the heavenly realm, Lord God. We pray right now that You may just open our hearts, open our minds to hear from You, Lord God, and that we get to see the majesty and the wonder that is You, that is God, the Lord, the living God that we worship. Amen. If you're like me, the one book of the Bible that you sort of put aside and don't look at is the book of Revelations. How many of us here have gone through the book of Revelations? Honestly speaking, how many times have you gone through it? It's one of those difficult books. You start reading it and it's plain enough. It gives a historical account in chapter one. Then chapter two and three are easy to discern because they're talking about messages to the seven churches, isn't it? Then it starts getting complicated. You now start getting the images of the angels with eyes everywhere, earthquakes, horses, riders, bears, white hair, everything. It becomes really complicated at some point, doesn't it? But there's so much depth in it. There's so much truth in it. And if you read through it carefully, you start to see something of God. There's something that is revealed of God that we see in the book of Revelations. And as I was preparing for this message, I wanted a simple message. You know, it's because what we're talking about is adoration. And I thought, I'm just going to look for a psalm, read through a psalm, because David does such a really good job of worshiping and praising God. But then I really felt the Holy Spirit leading me to this verse and he asking me to speak of this verse. And I was thinking, Revelations, am I sure I want to tackle that? But I trust God and here we are. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing prayer. We'll be looking at prayer and we'll be looking at an approach to prayer, which is... ACTS, which the acronyms ACTS. And today I'll be looking at the first part, which is adoration. And the way I prepared this message and the way I was looking at this message is I want to do two things. I really think that is how I want to do messages or how I want to preach from now on. I want to share something that will help us with our prayer lives. Something simple that will help us with our prayer lives. But more importantly, I want us to be able to get something that we take out into the communities. So for me, there are two aspects to this. There's what we're doing today on a Sunday, which is helping each other and building the church. But also there should be an outward experience that goes out to the nations, to the places we live, to the places we work, because we want to see a radical manifestation of the kingdom of God, and we won't do that in here on a Sunday only, but we need to be transforming the lives of the people around us, the people in our workplaces, the people in our classes, the people. Everywhere around us, when you're stopping at a gas station, I want us to be ready to give an apologetic, to be able to give a defense of the gospel, to be able to say, this is how you pray. And I think this model that the ACT provides us is quite a simple one. It's quite a simple one, but it can help you to tell a story and to be able to say, okay, you don't know how to pray. Why don't you try this? Isn't it? Are we together? Shall we start to look at the book of Revelations? I have notes, which I think will be made available on the website. I'm going to skip through because I want to talk in two parts. And in between, I want to show a video. So I'm going to skip through everything, but if you want to have a more in-depth look of what I had prepared, you see the notes which will be made available on the website. So Revelations 4. I think it was good that we had to read it twice, because I had to read it a lot of times before I actually started to get a sense of what it was talking about. We had in the previous verses been talking to the churches, and we had Christ's voice, direct voice, talking to the churches, speaking to the different churches that were there in Asia Minor at the time. And then now we have John speaking. He's revealing what he saw. And it starts off with a door that was opening, or that was opened. And it was a door into the heavens. And I thought that was really profound. A voice was speaking like a trumpet. And it says, come up here, and I'll show you what you might see. The reason I say that this was profound is because I was looking at the language that was used. It didn't say that the door was being opened, or it was closed and someone was coming to usher him in. But the door was already opened, and there was already access for him into the scripture, into the heavens. And this is not the first time in scripture that we see or hear of the opening of the heavens. We saw it in an account that was given by Ezekiel. Stephen, as he was stoned, talked about having a glimmer into the heavens. We've seen it a number of times in scripture. But the thing that I noticed about this scripture is that the access point, the door was already opened. A way has already been made for us to have access into the heavenly realm. And I think that way is Jesus Christ. And that's the first point. That's the first thing that I picked up, which was really profound. But the good thing, the thing that I also understood why it had to be something in the heavens is when we're here, when we're on earth, we see a fixed time scale. We see the here and the now. Are we together? We see that which is before us. Are we together? Have I lost anyone? When we're in this time, when we're here on earth, what we see is that which is before us, isn't it? But I think there's something that is interesting about seeing into the heavens, in that you are no longer caught up in the time spectrum, and you can now transcend time and see a bigger picture. Isn't it? And that's where that's what John is telling us. And we know from verses 1-3 that he was already in the spirit. So this to me suggests that he was about to get into a deeper encounter of spiritual things. Because from the start he talks about when I was in the spirit, I heard a voice, and it says, write these things down. That's how the book of Revelation starts. So we already know that he was in the scripture. And there was a loud voice, a trumpet call that came ushering him into this. And verse 2 says, I was in the spirit, and before me was a throne. This throne is talked about a lot in the book of Revelations. And I was reading statistics about it, and it appears 75 times, thronos, is written, 75% of the times that it is written in the book of Revelations. And I think there's something significant about that, and something we should grasp, and I think we should have that at the back of our heads as we go on. Then he begins to describe what he saw. And if you've read the book of Revelations, you realize the mastery or the way that he was really good at describing the things that he saw. Because I think some of the things that he saw, I wouldn't have words for. My English is not very good. My Shona is not very good. I don't think I'll have the depth of language to be able to couch and explain the splendor of the things that he saw when he was at that point. And he begins to describe what he saw in the throne, and he talks about jasper, and sardine stone. And I think these were precious stones. If you look at the breastplates of the high priest at that time, they were adorned in these stones. And I think, I don't know whether that was literally describing what he saw, but I think the fact that he uses the stone is to illustrate the majesty and the wonder of what he saw. And he was looking for words that he could come up with, words that were familiar to him, that could describe and give the audience that he was talking to a sense of what he saw. So he says, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled him. So I think he's just trying to talk about the majesty, the wonder of what he saw. Let's move on. And I'll skip. If you look at verses 4, verses 5, in different ways, he talks about a lake which was clear as crystal. He talks about lightning and thunder. There's so many things that he uses to describe the splendor of what he saw. But for the purposes of today, it is verse 8 that I'm most keen on. And he talks about the worship that was taking place at the time. It was holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, He who was, He who is, and who is to come. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And I was thinking, what is the significance of these people having so many eyes? Because the creatures that are described had eyes everywhere, even under their wings. And I just got a sense of English is not my first language, so I'm looking for the appropriate words. I really got a sense of the fact that this shows what they must have been exposed to and what they had to see, the majesty of what they had to see. Two sets of eyes would not have been sufficient to be able to see everything that surrounded them. I don't know about the symbolism that John was talking about, but for me, it was just the idea of being surrounded by God, being in the presence of God, that you didn't want to miss anything. So if you had two eyes, you'd grow two eyes at the back of your head just to get a glimpse of everything that was surrounding you. Isn't it? And they were faced with God, and all they could do is fall on their faces and say, "Holy, holy is the God Almighty. Holy, holy is the God Almighty." And I think for a lot of us, we like to use fancy language. Exuberant praise. We want to use fancy language, but those who are confronted with God, those who see God, one word answers, awesome. Wow. They couldn't come up with a lot of the fancy words that we come up with. It was just, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Yeah. He is worthy. He is mighty. Yeah. Isn't it? It wasn't about coming up with fancy dictionary words on a Sunday before you come to service. Praise, theorcy. What other words mean praise? This is a big one. I haven't used this one in church before. I shall use this during worship. No, it was about simple language. It was about telling it as it is. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. They didn't need to come up with anything else because they saw his splendor. They saw him for who he was. And they didn't need to come up with anything else but just holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Are we still together? Yeah. Let's read on. This is the first part. And there's more in the notes for those who like a little bit of theology. And I was thinking to myself, there's so many things that we can learn about worship. Because I think so much has been distorted about worship in the church today, and we focus on so many things. Hillsong has done a very good job of getting worship music into the mainstream, but to some extent it has become entertainment, hasn't it? When you're feeling low, you put on your Hillsong, and you, in your car, you're in your office, you're dancing to it. It's become entertainment, and to some extent we've forgotten the essence of it. And what these guys are doing, what we see here, is a different spiritual vector, a different way of looking at worship. They are not worried about what it does to them. They're just in awe. It's a response. It's not about them looking at ways of exciting something in them. They're not looking at stirring up something in their hearts. They're just giving reverence to the God they see. That's the first thing. It's about giving reverence to God. It's not about what it does to me. It's not about entertaining me. It's not about ushering me into the Spirit. You know, Christianese, we've got these lovely words that we use. Ushering us into the Spirit. No, it's focused on Him. It's focused on Him. It wasn't about anything else. It wasn't about what it does to me. It was focused on Him. The second aspect, and I don't know whether it's because those that surround it, God have a limited vocabulary, but the second aspect is the fact that they were not able to describe what they saw. It's just holy, holy. Even John, as he writes of his account, as he writes of what he saw, he doesn't really describe what he saw. It was this tall blonde man who sat on the throne. He wore a Rolex watch and Timberland boots. No! He uses language that would have meant something to the church in the 21st, in the first century. He talks about precious stones. He talks about lightning and thunder. The words that they use are not the words that I would use to describe, because it's unimaginable what they saw. The words could not encapsulate what they saw. Isn't it? Are we together? That's the first part. And the second part. Someone turned for me to Exodus 3. The title of the message, by the way, sorry. I should have done this at the start. The title of the message is "To Know Him Is to Love Him," and I stole this from Taps. Taps wrote an email to me once, and I saw at the bottom of his signature, it had it was written, "To know Him Is to Love Him." And so this is going to be the first part: to know Him is to love Him. To see Him is to be confused and blown away. We've seen that from John. Let's get to hear what the Scripture says about Him. And a good starting point is how he himself describes himself. Does anyone want to read for us the account from in Exodus 3, verses 13 to 15?
Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' And what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you."
That's it, isn't it? A lot is said about Madonna, that she's so iconic that she doesn't even need a second name. Her first name is enough. If someone asks me who I am, I'll tell them, "Oh, I'm married to Tsitsi. I have three kids. I wouldn't tell them I'm a lawyer. I'll look for things to describe myself, isn't it? And I think all of us would do that, isn't it? But when you're God, you are who you are. There's nothing else that you need to define who you are. That's it. Everything that has come out of creation has come out of you. There's no need to say, I'm like this, because like that is like you. You are the start. You are the origin. I am who I am. And I love this. There's a quotation from Maggie, and she couldn't remember it when I asked her. It says, the Bible is not the book of the law. It is God revealing himself to his people. And we see a lot of that in Scripture. If you look at Genesis 22, we get Genesis 22, 12 to 14, the favorite name of God. My God who provides for him. I know from a Zimbabwean context, when things start to get hard, the first thing we do is to talk about the God, our provider. But God tells us so much of who he is throughout his scripture. And I don't have the time to go through each and every one of them. And Shingi knows I'm a lazy preacher. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show a video. I'm going to show a video which tells us who he is. And I'm going to conclude after that. It's a short video. It's about 11 minutes. But it tells us who he is. It's fairly short. Cue video.
Nature never changes. He is and he will always be. He is who he is. That's what his name Jehovah even means I am. Yahweh means he is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Judge, Creator,
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah,
El Elyon, the Most High God,
Adonai, Lord, Master,
El Shaddai, Lord, God Almighty,
El Olam, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe, the God of Ancient Days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the Peacemaker,
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals,
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kenah, jealous.
He is Jehovah Enkadash, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is a star,
a scepter out of Israel,
the cursed of God,
the captain of the host of the Lord,
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace,
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers,
the rock of my salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the day's man,
the interpreter,
my rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned the crown of Kirgul,
the most blessed forever.
He is the forsaken,
a worm and no man.
He is Jehovah Ra.
He is my restorer,
the King of glory.
He who sitteth king forever.
He is a stranger and an alien.
My strong rock.
My rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men.
The rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength.
The rock of habitation.
He is as rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth.
The rock of my heart.
The shield.
The rock of my refuge.
A king and priest after the order of Melchizedek.
A brother born for adversity.
The friend that loveth at all times.
A stone of grace.
A friend that speaketh closer than a brother.
He is his ointment poured forth.
My well-beloved.
A bundle of myrrh.
A cluster of henna blooms.
The rose of Sharon.
He is the lily of the valley.
The lily of the valley.
The chiefest among 10,000.
His countenance is as Lebanon.
Yea, he is altogether lovely.
He is my beloved and my friend.
He is holy, holy, holy.
He's a sanctuary.
The great light.
A son given.
The mighty God.
The father of eternity.
He is a child born.
The prince of peace.
An ensign of the people.
The nail fastened in a sure place.
A strength to the poor.
The strength to the needy in distress.
A shadow from the heat.
A refuge from the storm.
He is the rock of ages.
A crown of glory and beauty.
He is a stone.
A triad stone.
A covert from the tempest.
He
is as rivers of water in a dry place.
As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
As a hiding place from the wind.
He is the king in his beauty.
My leader,
the everlasting God.
He is mine elect, in whom my soul delighted.
He is a light of the Gentiles.
The covenant of the people.
The polished shaft.
Glorious.
He is the Holy One of Israel.
He is a man of sorrows.
Despised.
He is rejected.
He is stricken.
Smitten.
He is wounded.
And bruised.
He is oppressed.
He is my portion,
my maker,
my husband.
He's the God of the whole earth.
The witness to his people.
A leader.
A commander.
The redeemer.
He is mighty.
He is my physician.
Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
David, their king.
My resting place.
My feeder.
The plant of renown.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there.
He is the prince of princes.
The Messiah.
The prince.
The strength of the children of Israel.
The hope of thy people.
The ruler.
He is king over all the earth.
He is a refiner's fire.
Fuller's soap.
My refiner.
My purifier.
Purifier.
Son of righteousness.
He is Jesus, Yeshua, salvation.
Emmanuel, God with us.
He is born as the king of the Jews.
He is a governor.
The Nazarene.
Nazarene. Bridegroom.
He is meek, lowly.
He is the one of whom the Father says, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
The Son of the living God.
Jesus.
The Christ.
The rock.
The builder.
The prophet of Nazareth.
He is betrayed.
Mocked. Crucified.
The Holy One of God.
My brother.
The carpenter.
And his life is a ransom.
He is the Son of the Blessed.
The Son of the Highest.
God my Savior.
The Horn of Salvation.
The Dayspring from on high.
A Savior which is Christ the Lord.
The Salvation of God.
He is the glory of thy people Israel.
Lord of the Sabbath.
My healer.
The Christ of God.
My servant.
The chosen of God.
He is risen.
He is risen.
A prophet mighty indeed and word.
He is the word.
The word that was with God.
The word that was God.
The light of men.
The true light.
The word that was made flesh.
He is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father.
The Lamb of God.
My teacher.
The gift of God.
He is Messiah.
The bread of God.
The bread of life.
He is my meat.
My drink.
The light of the world.
The door of the sheep.
The good shepherd that laid down his life.
The scent of the Father.
He is the resurrection.
The king of the daughter of Zion.
The corn of wheat.
He is the light.
The light.
My Lord, Master.
My example.
He is the way.
The truth.
The life.
The vine.
Scourged.
Crowned with a crown of thorns.
Crucified as the king of the Jews.
He is exalted.
Glorified. The Holy One and the just.
The prince of life.
The anointed.
The prince and his savior.
He is Lord Jesus.
He is Lord of all.
The judge.
Jesus of Nazareth.
The mercy seat.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
He is the firstborn among many brethren.
Over all.
God blessed forever.
Lord over all.
The deliverer.
Deliverer.
Lord both of the dead and living.
The minister of the circumcision.
He is my wisdom.
My righteousness.
My sanctification.
My redemption.
He is the foundation.
My Passover.
That spiritual rod.
The head of every man.
The first fruits of them that slept.
He is the last Adam.
The quickening spirit.
The image of God.
His unspeakable gift.
My peace.
He is the offering.
He is the sacrifice.
The head over all things to the church.
He is he that filleth all in all.
He is a servant who humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature,
creator of all things,
the firstborn from the dead, the head of the body, the church,
the head of all principalities and powers.
He is my all in all.
He is
our Lord Jesus Christ himself.
He is Lord of peace.
He is our Lord of hope.
He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the justified,
the mediator,
the righteous judge,
the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
He is obedient and his throne is forever and ever.
Ever.
He is the upholder of all things,
the express image of his person,
the brightness of his glory.
He is Jesus Christ,
same yesterday, today, and forever.
The shepherd of the sheep,
the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead.
He is the minister of the sanctuary
and of the true tabernacle,
and his flesh is the veil which was rent in two.
He is the altar,
the offerer,
the forerunner
for us.
Enter even Jesus. He is the priest,
the priest,
the high priest,
the great high priest,
the intercessor, the surety,
He is
the Prince of the Kings of the Earth.
He is
the Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come.
He is
the beginning and the ending.
He is
the Alpha and the Omega.
He is
the first and the last.
He is
He that liveth.
He is
the Tree of Life.
He is
the hidden manna.
He is
the faithful and the true witness.
He is
the Amen.
He is
the beginning of the creation of God.
He is
the Lion.
The story of Scripture is God revealing Himself to His people. He continuously defined who He is throughout Scripture. And you think that was enough to define the adoration part of our prayer. But there's more. And we get into Revelation 5. And another scene is told. And there's an angel who's holding a scroll written on both sides, sealed with seven seals. There's a search that is done in Revelation 5. They look in heaven, they look on earth, they look under the earth, they look for some who is worthy to open the seals and read from the scrolls. And none was found that was worthy. None was found that was worthy to open the seals and read from the scrolls. John reveals a little bit about himself. He says he cried because none was found that was worthy to read of the scrolls. But lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of Benjamin, he is worthy. He is worthy to open the seals and read from the scroll. We start to talk about redemption. Redemption. He set the standard. He's a covenant maker. He created a standard, and men did not meet that standard. But he didn't let men die. He came down to earth. Maggie captured it so well. You remember that grandeur that we saw on the stone, the ruby, the pearls, the thunder, the lightning, encapsulated into one being. He came down on earth as a person, and he died for my sins. He came and he paid the price. Isn't it? So we say that to see him is to be blown away. To know him is to love him. But to know what he did, that should lead you to adoration. That should lead you to worship. That should get you on your knees to say, he is worthy. That should get you on your knees to say, my God, my Redeemer. Because he has paid the price that I should have paid for my sins. Oh, me, a wretched being. But this God, this mighty God, who we can't describe him in words, he came down to earth and he died for my sins. He died and he set away my transgressions. He made me weigh his righteousness. That is enough for us to adore him. What's your apologetic? What's the message you're taking to the world? Which God are you telling the world right now? Are you telling him just God, God your provider that provides for you? Is that all? Are you simply telling him God the healer? Is that all? There's so many facets of God. And we need to be, as Christians, people who come on a Sunday and see this God and hear of this God. We need to be going into the communities right now and transforming people's lives. Not by telling them about how we have bread on our tables because we have a God who provides. But we need to tell them about the whole God, the entire gospel, the entire story. We need to tell them about redemption. We need to tell them about how our lives have been transformed and how that power is still available for them to get their lives transformed so that they can know this God. They can know this God. They can know this God intimately. They can sit and say, you are my God, my Redeemer. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to be. Bam. Worship with me. Let's pray a little more, and then Rob will come and conclude the service for us. Thank you.
You have been listening to a podcast from Kingdom People Church in Harare. For more details, please go to www.kingdompeoplechurch.org.